I speak to you today as a sinner to those who have sinned, as redeemable to those who have been redeemed. Have a seat. Lent couldn't have come at a better time. This is a season designed to call our attention to the ways that we react to the people and events around us, and then consider if those reactions are in keeping with the teachings of Jesus. There certainly are a lot of things happening in the world that cause us to react. But before we get into that, let's talk about Jesus, because he has something to say to us today about the temptation to react. When Jesus presents us with a teaching, we know he wants us to go well beneath the surface. Often he teaches using parables or situational lessons, things that Jesus can direct our attention to that are happening in a place and a time. Today's teaching is different. Today, Jesus is teaching us with an actual event that's happening to him. This isn't a parable. This isn't an object lesson. This is Jesus living in a moment. This is the master teacher himself showing us how to manage our reactions in the face of some heavy-duty temptations. Last time we talked about the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness, we distilled these three temptations into three general areas of interest: food, power, and safety. Upon further consideration of this passage, in light of current events, I think there may be even more wisdom for us in this episode. The devil arrives when Jesus is weakened by fasting and loneliness and exposure, in a moment when he might be more susceptible to things that are out of character for him. Temptations are always at their strongest when we are at our weakest. Temptation is an opportunist. It seeks out the easiest possible path to achieve its aim. Temptation doesn't want to have to work too hard, so it arrives when our ability to think clearly and make good decisions is compromised. The devil thinks Jesus is so weakened by his 40-day experience that he'll be an easy mark. When we're feeling overwhelmed, all we can see is whatever is overwhelming us. When we're hungry, all we can see is food. Sometimes we fill up on junk food. When we're not feeling strong, everything threatens to dominate us. We begin to distrust. When we're in pain, we suspect that every little touch is going to activate it. So we pull back even from the hands that are there to help. The devil's temptations for Jesus, and ultimately for us, are not really about these surface things, food and power and safety. No. We need to think about temptation differently because, friends, the devil is crafty and plays a long game. If we're going to overcome the devil and his temptations, we're going to have to avoid the temptation of wearing ourselves out reacting to these surface things. There's a much bigger prize the devil is after than simply watching us squirm. Today's gospel temptation can be summed up in one word: fear. Fear. That's what the devil is really trying to get at in Jesus and in us. Elimination of fear means more than simply the acquisition of food, power, and safety. These things point us to the core issue. Having no food is the fear of scarcity. It means as much as thinking no one cares enough about you to make you a meal that will keep you alive. Fear of being powerless is an existential crisis. We think we're at the mercy of another who does not have our best interests at heart. fear of pain. That's the big one. Nothing strips away every sense of our agency than falling uncontrollably to earth with an inevitable result at the end. Fear's greatest power is to stop us from paying attention to what is life-giving and good. Fear causes us to doubt love in all of its many forms. Whether our fear reaction manifests as fight or flight or freeze, all of these reactions redirect our agency somewhere other than that which can most effectively neutralize our fear. Franklin Roosevelt said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear." He was right in 1933, and he's right today. Fear is a tool used by cruel manipulators. It's a very powerful motivator. It has the power to overtake our clear thinking. It overtakes the proof of goodness in the world. It makes us doubt ourselves. It makes us doubt God. But Jesus teaches an even more powerful lesson in the gospel today. Jesus shows us how to keep fear from taking control. Jesus refuses to put God to the test because he knows something important about God. God will not be manipulated by anyone's fear. God is the source of love, and there's no place for fear in love. The question for us is this: what must we do to also hold such a clear and healthy boundary against the very powerful temptation to let fear control and manipulate our actions? Friends, there are a lot of things happening in the world these days that are designed to perpetuate fear, designed to make us react out of character, to get us to allow fear to control our thoughts and actions. It will always leave us feeling overwhelmed. That's when scarcity becomes real, when everything feels threatening, and when we draw back even from love. What causes you to fall victim to fear? There is a devil in this wilderness time, and he dangles temptations in front of you daily. Question: are you providing safe harbor in your soul for uncharitable thoughts about a world leader? Do you really want to let him live rent-free in your soul? Notice that those thoughts get in the way of thinking about good things, kind people, the abundance all around you every day. The temptation to fear slowly erodes the soul by starving it of love. Lent is the season of repentance, and repentance means to change direction. Maybe we're called to change the direction of temptation. Can temptation ever be good? What temptation can I offer you today? Friends, more than anything else in the world, at this moment, I wish I could present to you a fluffy, squirmy puppy with a waggy, waggy tail, and it would make all of you go, "Aw." And in that moment, our hearts of stone would break. That would be a good temptation to remember to love boldly again. I don't want to suggest that thinking about cute things magically makes temptations go away. It's not an easy task, but one that takes practice. How many times in Scripture do we hear the phrase, "Fear not"? Jesus on the stormy sea, angels visiting people, and so forth. Fear reactions are things we may have to contend with daily. Jesus had to do battle with it again, as the gospel writer stated, The devil did return at another time of overwhelming stress. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Fear of pain. But what did Jesus do? Well, what he didn't do was allow fear to control his actions. His actions were determined by love, not fear. By compassion for all of humanity, not scarcity. By the giving up of power so that others could be empowered. How can we support one another in fearful times, short of adopting all the puppies? Perhaps when we think about giving things up for Lent, we might consider giving up fear. Build the spiritual habit of making decisions based on love. Lent may look, on the surface, like a season of austerity, but in reality, it is rich in God's abundance. You are children of love and disciples of Jesus. You are children of love and disciples of Jesus. You have been given a mind keen to think clearly, a soul overwhelming with compassion, and a heart as big as all outdoors. Together with your sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings in Christ, we are able to overcome all the temptations of the devil in our time and live without fear, with love, always. And that is good news.